This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to Down the Line, episode 6 on the Connect Radio Network. This is the football focused show where we chat to blind and partially sighted football supporters up and down the country about the most recent fixtures in the kind of top leagues and in the UK. So today we're joined by Andrew, the Ipswich Town fan, and Bruce, the Aberdeen fan, and for today as well, I guess, England and Scotland fans respectively, because we'll be touching on a couple of international fixtures that are coming up. So for context, we're recording on Thursday afternoon, so just before Scotland face Poland at Hampden tonight. And then that obviously with the podcast going out probably slightly later than that, everyone will know the result of at least Scotland's first match against Poland tonight. So welcome along, guys. I think best place to start, we'll start with the Premier League stuff from the weekend. Andrew, pick up your first point of the season with Ipswich Town at home to Fulham. We run down to the game and I guess a nicer fixture to have after the first couple against Liverpool and Man City.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I wouldn't say. I mean, Fulham look like a good team. I thought, you know, they've got some really good players in their squad. Much very different to what I remember from years ago. But they certainly. I mean, I think Ipswich gave them a really good game. I didn't really know what to expect because they're the sort of games that you'd like to win, but equally, you know, you can't. There are no teams that are walkovers really. So I didn't know what to expect, but I thought Ipswich gave them a really good game, and it was actually a really entertaining 90 minutes. You know, it's a good advert for Premier League football, and it could have gone either way really, but although I thought Ipswich were the better team, I must say, but and I'm a bit biased, but I thought they had some good chances, and the momentum was definitely with them in the second half.
No, certainly. And elsewhere in the Premier League, I think it's probably worth noting the Bournemouth result as well, away to Everton, where 2-0 up Everton were 87th minute and concede 3 late goals to lose the game 3-2. So that was notable. We had Arsenal dropping points against Brighton at home with maybe a pretty dodgy red card, I guess, second yellow, which caused Declan Rice to be sent off in that game. So their first dropped points of the season. And then Man City pretty comfortably, you know, seeing their way past West Ham with another Haaland hat-trick, second of the bounce. And then, that Man United-Liverpool game, I guess, the talking point of the weekend. Yeah, I guess, I don't know, Bruce, did you see any of the Premier League stuff over the weekend? Did you catch the Man United-Liverpool?
I didn't manage to see any of them, no, but I actually used to live near Ipswich, and so I kept an eye out for their score. And I think, even though that was the first point, I think they're still above the relegation zone. So I think it shows, you know, even though they've lost a couple of games, they've been putting up a fair account of themselves.
It's a funny one with Ipswich because you feel like, I mean, in seasons gone past, it's always this 40 points or 36 points-ish we'll keep you in the league. But actually, with this, you're probably looking at a lot less points we'll keep you in the league with, you know, looking at teams maybe like Leicester, looking at maybe points deductions, Everton potentially again, you know, there's other clubs there that potentially down the line are going to see some point deductions and in a really competitive league. I think Ipswich just minding their own business, you know, will hopefully have enough to stay up for Andrew's sake.
I think they'll be fine. I think they'll, you know, if they play the attacking style of football, it's like we said a few weeks ago, it's how they defend, and they seem to be doing fine at the moment. And it's, you know, the way their keeper played at City was give you a heart attack. I think it was a couple of weeks ago when Jam was talking about the Hibs defender that they signed from Blackpool, and he said he's just like a bomb waiting to go off. That was how I felt when they played at City. But if they can control themselves at the back, I think they're fine. I think they will pick up. You know, there are games that you know they're not going to win just because they, you know, they're just going to be outplayed. But I think they will pick up plenty of results. I think they're, you know, I don't think I'm not too worried about them. They'll be, you know, well drilled, and they'll know what the plan is, and they've signed some good players as well. So I think they've got everything they need.
Yeah. Okay, we'll turn our attentions over to the Scotland results from the weekend. So in the top flight, we had St Johnstone 1, Motherwell 2, Dundee 2, St Mirren 2, we had Ross County 0, Aberdeen 1, Celtic 3, Rangers 0. I say through gritted teeth. Kilmarnock 1, Hibernian 1, and then Hearts 0, Dundee United 1. So obviously the Old Firm is the one that takes the headlines for the weekend there, and Celtic really putting their foot down and showing their dominance again in that fixture, unfortunately for myself. But I guess Bruce on the line, Aberdeen flying high near the top of the league. How are the Dandy Dons doing, Bruce, and under Jimmy Tilleen?
Doing very well. So Saturday was 9 wins on the bounce, and that's your 16th match unbeaten in a row going back into last season. So really quite a turnaround. And Saturday, I think, was a testimonial to us not giving up. Both sides had a goal disallowed, and Ross County actually had a penalty, which the Aberdeen keeper, Dimitar Mitov, saved, and it was a good save. And then we scored the only goal of the game, the winner, in 8 minutes of added time at the end of the second half. So it was our new loanee, Kevin Nisbet, who came on as a substitute when we had a player injured. And it was a lovely move, and he slotted it. It was a fairly easy chance for him, I think, but the move was great. He created space for himself and put it away. So that puts us up to second, going into international break. So really good, I think, really changed days at Aberdeen. Much, much more confident overall, much more fluid as a team, and much less kind of passing the ball aimlessly around the halfway line.
Just after, I think it's worth noting the two results from the Dundee clubs. I think particularly Dundee themselves maybe looked like they would really struggle this season, but picking up points already this season, and again at the weekend, a tough game against St Mirren, who aren't any mugs, certainly in Scottish football. I think that was a pretty impressive result. And then Dundee United to beat Hearts at Tynecastle, even though it's a really struggling Hearts, I think that's a really good effort, and maybe sets the standard for the two Dundee clubs going forward the rest of the league. Mm. And then I guess we're going to have to talk about it. So Celtic 3, Rangers 0. I know Andrew was watching it because he messaged me during the game at half-time, I think, just to check on my well-being, which was very kind of you. So, yeah, Andrew, I guess I'll start with you. Did you manage to catch any of the game at all?
I did. I watched the first half, and then I started watching the Newcastle Spurs match, but I was hoping, as like a sort of closet follower of Rangers, that they may be able to get something out of the game, but they missed a header, didn't they, early on in the first half, and then Celtic went right down the other end and scored, but it was disallowed. But you thought, oh god. And I texted you and said, you know, that you have to take your chances, don't you? You just have to.
Yeah.
You're not going to get many, and if you don't, they'll just, you know, they look a good side, don't they? So they're just going to run away with it, I think.
Rangers started pretty brightly and really pressed the game, and I thought the press looked brilliant. They were with Diamande and Dessers, really hard working and quite tactical players, I think. Diamande certainly more than Dessers, kind of Cherney and Matondo. I thought it looked really good and really high pressed, but Celtic had their goal in the counter attack, which was ruled out. But I just think it absolutely spooked Rangers. I think they were pressing so high, Celtic break through them once. And it absolutely spooked Rangers, thinking, oh god, this is going to be the game now. And then they just retreated to being kind of giving the ball away, being sloppy, nobody really knowing what to do on the ball or out the ball. So, and then, yeah, Celtic just at Celtic Park with the atmosphere up and they can smell blood. I think we've seen that story loads over the last two or three seasons, unfortunately.
Well, I wondered if the lack of away fans made any difference, but then it doesn't make any difference to Celtic when they play at Ibrox, so I don't know.
No. Yeah, Bruce?
Yeah, I think Rangers really could do with something of a rebuild. And I think the challenge for Rangers is whether they actually have got the money to do that. Mm-hmm. Rangers in the transfer window they spent 12 million more than they brought in. And I think with that, with building the new stand, And the other debts, I think it's going to be really hard for them to keep up with Celtic, because just as there was a lot of talk of Aberdeen, you know, making a lot of money when they sold the striker Miofsky for 7 million, having bought him for 600,000. Celtic are buying players for 4 or 5 million and selling them for 25. And when you can do that every season, you know, it just, on top of the crowds and the TV money and the merchandising, it's another big boon for them, I think. And Rangers, yeah, I think, have been much less canny in the transfer market in recent past.
Yeah, I definitely think this last 10 years has really come to show what kind of maybe mismanagement has gone on at Rangers. And it's those signings that, yeah, I mean, the big one, the Matt O'Reilly, they sign him for £1.5 million or £2 million and they sell him for 25, 30 million. They also got guys like Frimpong, who they get for, you know, I think it was a development fee, you know, £100,000. And they sell them for 11 million. And it's those kind of ones that it's just constant with Celtic. It sounds a bit fancy and, you know, it's jargon, but the player trading model that Celtic have is just far superior than Rangers at the minute, and has been for a long time now. And with that, as you say, with European money, there's a massive gulf there. And yeah, I don't think Rangers fans have a whole lot of patience for it at the minute. And it's one of those things that if Rangers don't win the league, Celtic win it. And yeah, it's really quite stark. It's not quite like the Premier League that, you know, if Man United have a bad season, it doesn't mean Liverpool win the league. You know, there's maybe three or four other teams that you can continue to build while other things are going on. Rangers and Celtic, it's black and white. It's green or blue, isn't it? that's what it is for the league title. But I'm sure you'll be looking for a second place, Bruce, and taking advantage of Rangers' woes this season.
But I have to be honest and say my hope for this season, and I would stress the word hope rather than expectation, was that we could get back into Europe, which would be a fourth or a fifth place finish.
Yeah.
So I think that really the minimum was to get top six, but if we can get into Europe and perhaps even get to third place, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think you're looking pretty good for that. So, we'll park the Scottish football chat for now. Thankfully, I managed to survive that. Maybe it's the 3 or 4 days I've had to recover from Sunday and calm myself down that I've managed to actually talk about it properly for the first time and not just ranting with my dad. So, so we'll just take a quick little look towards the international fixtures that are coming up over the next week or so. So you've got England are away to Ireland on Saturday, the 7th of September. We have then England will then play Finland at Wembley. I think it's at Wembley. Certainly at home. It'll be at Wembley, surely. Might be making that up. On Tuesday, the 10th of September. For Scotland, they play Poland tonight at Hampden and then away to Portugal on Monday night. So, Andrew, I know you were on the Euro podcast, but for these games, do you follow the internationals much? Do you just kind of casually check in the score or do you get yourself in front of the telly and watch them?
No, I mean, I would watch the Republic of Ireland game on Saturday, but I'm out. So I'm going to watch my local team, Braintree Town, play, which they play in the National League, but they kick off at 3. So the England game will be on, I think it kicks off at 5. So that'll be on afterwards.
Yes. Yeah.
But I won't watch all of it. I would have watched that, but the home one against Finland that I may keep an eye on just to see how they're getting on, because I know Carsley's, I'd be interested to see how they play under him, but I don't really take a great deal of interest in the build up to all these kind of games, but it's, if it's on, I'll watch it probably, but I'm not that bothered.
I guess it's slightly different in Scotland because these games are probably a bit more exciting now in the Nations League and probably mean a little bit more. England are going to qualify. So, for Scotland, it's a big chance to take some big results against some dominant European teams. So I know you're a big Tartan Army member, Bruce, so I'm guessing you'll be watching with keen eye on Poland tonight and Portugal on Monday.
I will be. I must admit, we were very excited in Scotland when we got promoted to League A, and then we got drawn with Croatia, Portugal and Poland, and that was a bit of a sobering moment, which it could be argued the Tartan Army do need on occasion. But I think when we look at it, actually, in that group of Portugal, Poland, Croatia and Scotland, Portugal were the only team to get out of the group stage in the Euros. And I think the Croatia and Poland are perhaps having to go through a bit of a transition as, you know, Lewandowski gets older, Modric gets older, So, you know, I think the difference between Poland, Croatia and Portugal is that, well, Portugal have got a historic reliance on Ronaldo. They actually have got a bunch of other genuinely world-class players. So I think success for Scotland will be avoiding a thrashing in the group and remaining in League A by the end of it. You know, if we can do that, then I think that would be a significant success.
I think so, yeah, that would be, I think that would be a big achievement for Steve Clark and for Scotland. And for Scotland themselves, probably in a little bit of a transition, I guess, Callum McGregor announcing retirement, you've got guys like maybe Robertson getting older, maybe the goalkeeping situation not quite nailed down. There's a few striking situation as well, probably not quite nailed down anywhere. So, yeah, maybe a bit of a transition for Scotland as well.
Yeah, I mean, three relatively new players brought in, Ben Doak from Liverpool, Tommy Conway, who are both in the Euros squad, and also Ryan Gold, who plays in the States and has been, for some years, a lot of lobbying from people thinking he should be in the squad. So now he gets his opportunity. So I think it'll be interesting. Also interesting that Scotland have hired an attacking coach for the first time in some time. So that's encouraging as well. So we'll just see. I think tonight it's hope rather than expectation, but at home against Poland, you know, I think there's a decent chance that we could get a result.
Attacking coach for the Scotland national team, he must have an easy job. Getting time on the training ground.
I just about choked on the words. They were so unusual to go together.
Yeah, that's like an oxymoron. So cool. Yeah, I guess we'll wrap it up there. We've got some international fixtures to look forward to this week, and yeah, then the Premier League and the Scotland League will be back in a couple of weekends' time. So yeah, well, thanks Andrew and thanks Bruce for joining today, and yeah, catch up soon.